That was a hard song to sing this morning. Weren't we talking about Christian cliches not too long ago? All things work together for good. Trust and obey. Solid truths. That are fresh from the Word of God. But sometimes so very hard to live by. And I have a hard time because I feel in the position that I'm in that I need to be stoic. I need to put on that church face. I don't feel like that I'm able to put my guard down. But guys, we all go through the same struggles. And there's nothing that you're going through today that somebody probably in this room hasn't gone through that's very similar. And I think about the Apostle Paul this morning. As he was writing this letter to the church at Galatia, I know how difficult sometimes it is for me and Ryan having the weight of this little body on our shoulders. Knowing how to properly encourage and lift up, sometimes admonishing, while all in the coverance of love and boldness. And here's Paul writing this letter to this church in whom he thought was okay. They had a proper foundation. They came out of the gate strong. And then as soon as Paul leaves them, this group of men come in and throw a speed bump in their way. As we'll see today in our passage, these men were not honest. From the reading of today's text, we can almost get the idea that they came to this church at Galatia saying, "Hey, Paul sent us. He's okay with what we're telling you. This is what you need to do." And they turn the truth of God into a lie and start worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Guys, I worry about when any one of you get a hangnail, let alone some of the other stuff that you're going through. I can't imagine the weight on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul. Let's read our passage this morning. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12. Paul says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Some very strong words from the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Father, give strength this morning. Give clarity to your word. May you open our eyes so we may see the great and wondrous things that you have for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Paul starts out, "You were running well." The church had a good foundation. It was strong. Paul had taught them everything they needed to know. I mean, we saw that as we read through the first couple chapters and we studied those. It says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? I mean, each and every one of us in the struggles that we go through, we know the answer, don't we? I mean, if we look at whatever particular struggle we're going through, I know the answer to my struggle. It's obeying that struggle or that way out of it that's difficult. Trust and obey. Oh, that's too easy. It's got to be something else, huh? All things work together for good? You know, there's got to be a little asterisk in there somewhere that tells us there's a loophole on some sort. I mean, some of you have shared with me your struggles. Some of you have shared your struggles with Beth. They're real. They're tough. We're running the race well. When we're trying to run the race, when God has us on the particular path, all of a sudden something or someone comes and gets in the way. You're not running it right. What do you mean, just faith? That's not enough. No, you need to do this, and you need to do that. I mean, even things that we would say are good.
Are you in your Bible every day? Are you listening to Christian music? Are you praying?
All good things. All things we should be doing. But sometimes even while doing those things, it doesn't seem to be enough. I mean, if anybody was studying the Word and meditating on the Word and keeping psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in their head, We would think it would have been the Apostle Paul. And yet here he is, burdened with this struggling church in Galatia. Paul says, this persuasion, it didn't come from him who calls you. I mean, the God that called us and set us on the course to know Him and to serve Him, He is not going to be the one to throw these little speed bumps into our path. Sometimes I hesitate to pray out loud when I'm alone. And I hesitate to pray out loud because I know that Satan is not God. So when I pray to God silently, I know that only God hears me. Sometimes I don't want Satan to know my heart. I don't want to give him ammunition that he can throw at me. Because these men that were coming to the church at Galatia, even though they were coming in the name of Jesus Christ, had nothing to do with the real Jesus Christ whatsoever. Because they were reporting a false gospel. A gospel that does not save, but a gospel that condemns to hell for everyone that listens to it. Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. These guys came in reporting that they were from the church at Jerusalem. Oh, the apostles sent us. As we read this morning, verse 11, where Paul says, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? They were coming and saying they were from Paul. Paul believes what we're saying. Guys, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Apostasy within the church does not start from somebody coming in and proclaiming a gospel that's so far away from what we believe. Apostasy comes into the church from somebody who says they agree with you in every way, but. And it's those buts that we have to watch out for. Paul is dealing with a church that has a bunch of men intertwangling themselves throughout, saying, we believe, but. I mean, we today tend to be a little gun shy. You know, we come up with somebody and, you know, they, whatever they may be in their religious beliefs, but they call themselves Christian. And they may be Christian in every way, but. And you can fill in the blank for what the but is. I don't know. We're too soft. I'm too soft. I'm too inclusive. Sometimes I don't want to offend somebody because of sin that they have in their life. So I remain silent. I think we're all that way, to an extent. Well, so-and-so may not like me anymore. So what? Because of so-and-so's sin, and we'll get into Galatians chapter, the end of chapter 5 and into chapter 6 in a few weeks, he who practices these things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do we want somebody to not be mad at us and go to hell? Or do we want to take a chance and offend them here and try to save their soul for eternity? Because, guys, it's not us. I mean, I can go to my wife all I want and say, "You're in sin for not submitting." Just, that's an example, not a truth. And I don't want to offend her. But those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul had much boldness with this church in Galatia. Realize the little tiniest piece of sin that we allow in our lives can have an effect on our entire life. The very littlest bit of sin we allow in the church can have an effect on the entire church. Paul says, "I have confidence in you, in the Lord. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view." Paul says, "I know you. I've spent time with you. I taught you. I know what your thinking was then. So I know that I have confidence that you can come back and understand where you began and stick to that path." But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Guys, these people that could be throwing speed bumps in our ways, they can come with many different names. They can come with names as pastors, deacons, evangelists, bishops, fathers. Oprah. Many, many different names. If people are not giving you the truth from God's Word, they are giving you lies. Paul says, "But brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished." See, these guys were saying that Paul okayed this. This is the message that Paul is giving. You know, when Paul was here the first time, he was just mistaken. It's not just faith. You have to do all this stuff as well as faith. And Paul says, if that were true, if that's how I felt and I believed, then why am I still being persecuted by these same people? Because then the cross just becomes a stumbling block. Faith is diminished to nothing, and our works override everything. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know about you, but if my salvation was left up to me and my works, I wouldn't have it. I would have no salvation. Because I try to do so much stuff in my own strength now and fail. If I didn't have Christ living within me, I would be nothing. I was sitting up this morning, 5:30, preparing for my day, with my Christian music playing in the background. In tears, as all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. And I have. I have given Him my everything. But yet I still try to take it back every chance I get. Why am I still being persecuted if I preach what they say I'm preaching and it's what they believe? And then with some of the harshest words in the Bible, Paul says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. And I don't want to get too dramatic and paint too vivid of a picture. But Paul says, if circumcision is such an important thing, then why don't they go and just cut the whole thing off and make themselves that much more circumcised? Guys, we either live by faith or we live by our works. And somehow, God has a way with making those two things come together, our faith and works that He has us do. I don't understand it. If you do, please come and explain it to me. I mean, I've got a lot of things in here that I don't quite understand, but I believe because that's what the Bible tells me. It's either all faith or it's all works. I'm going to go on a limb here. You got to be careful for how I'm taken. I'll get emails and everything else. But you either live all by faith or you live all by works. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you can live all by works and gain salvation. Ryan's ready to disqualify me and throw me out of the church. But the problem is, this is the first time you fail in your works, you're done. Get that? The first time you fail, you're done. There's no second chances. I kind of think that's where Paul was last week when we were talking. Where he said, you've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Those people were trying to gain their salvation by works. And they failed. Well, my good work that God calls me to do is to love my wife. So if I love my wife continually, I will have my salvation. Should be easy enough. Till mornings like today.
when I fail miserably.
I can love Ryan. He's easy enough to love. Have you met him? Until we don't. Well, if I just walk 10 old ladies across the street every day, that's my works for my salvation. Oh no, I only made 9 today. I failed. We will always fail when we try to keep the law. Whether it's the law of God or any law that we make up on our own, we will fail. Remember, as a high school student, in the wonderful fundamental church that my school was in, it was easy to keep the rules. Keep your hair short. Wear skirts, ladies. Everything's all right. You know what we had to do every Wednesday? As we were leaving chapel, guys would all walk out one door, and there would be a teacher or the principal at that door checking to make sure the hairs didn't touch the top of our ears. Because we were incapable of keeping little works just like that. The only thing that has gotten me through today to this point is the knowledge that I am not my own, that I have been bought with a price, and that I belong to God. That's it. It's the only thing that gets me through. About 3 weeks ago, I told us at the beginning of the sermon that we are hurting as members of the church. Satan was attacking. I don't think he's let up. But God will do things in our lives to show us that he's there. I don't know when, and I don't know how. You know, personally, at this point, I'm waiting on something. And I know God's not going to stand in front of me. He's not going to talk audibly to me. But maybe, just maybe, if I can get faithful and stay faithful, maybe he'll speak to me through his word, or through my wife, or through one of you. I don't know. But I'm telling you one thing. We need him. If you're going through your life right now, if you're sitting here thinking this is just a joke, I pity you. Because you are on your way to a Christless hell, where you will spend forever and ever, the Bible tells us, in eternal fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you will not be there crying out saying, "Oh God, why am I here?" You will know exactly why you are there. and you will hate God all the more for it. God sent His Son so that we wouldn't have to pay the price of our sin. You don't have to earn it. There's nothing you have to do, because Christ did it all. I'm even going to go on a limb and say you don't need to change. Because if you truly come to Him, God is going to change you Himself and give you the desire to be what He wants you to be. Whether you're 12 today or 82, it's the same for all of us. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, it's all of you. It's not of us. But Lord, we're still responsible for ourselves. That I don't understand. And Lord, I hurt people almost every day by my attitude or my words. And those are usually those who are closest to me. And I'm sure each and every one of us in this room can say almost the same thing. Father, help us to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.